WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack, and you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you have your Amazon Prime linked to your Twitch account, well, then you have Twitch Prime, and you might have a sub available. Do you want to be our first sub in 2020? We'll just click that little purple button up above the screen and see if you have one that you can use. And feel free to use it here. If not, that's fine too. But we'd really love you to sub, especially since we are in a new year and this is the first show of the new year. And you know what that means, guys? It's Pop Goes the Rack. It's time to celebrate. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sorokin.
Whoop, whoop. Pop Goes the Rack. Whoop, whoop. Yes, you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. You can join us at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTNLive, where you can use your Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. You can use career code Rocket2499. #ad my partner. Oh my God, I can speak very fast because, because
he's feeling better.
Yeah.
He's feeling better, ladies and gentlemen. For 2020, his resolution was to get rid of his cold, and by God, he did it.
Woohoo!
So,
I already did my resolution. Screw all you sucker stills trying to do yours.
World record.
Whoop,
2 days
whoop.
Into the year.
Whoop,
you
whoop.
Got it done. So
champ right here.
Talk champ.
Talk
so
champ.
I hope everybody had a great new year. I hope you had a lot of fun, that you're still celebrating. If you had to go back to work today, like me, I'm really sorry. It was a rough day for all of us, so we're looking to have a little bit of fun as we try to get back into that grind here in 2020, and you know, all of us will for the next at least 3 months still think it's 2019, because what the heck.
Yeah, the show files are gonna get, you know, screwed up because of dates, because of reasons.
Yeah, because reasons, because we're gonna forget it's 2020. I'm still like, I have to put dates on stuff for work, and I was like, it's 2019. No, it's not, it's 2020, because it doesn't feel like it should be January 2nd at all. That just kind of snuck up on me, at least. I don't know about anybody else. Brent, yes, Matt is at the Knott's Berry Farm, and they have the most amazing shortbread cookies with jelly in them. They're so good. They have them in our snack machine at work, and they're awesome. So if they have them there, I strongly recommend getting them, but they're addictive, I warn you.
Just,
so we have...
Just like Girl Scout cookies.
just like Girl Scout cookies. And Girl Scouts are sneaky because one sent me a website and she's going to regret doing that. Because I get paid tomorrow, y'all, and it's going to be on.
Is she going to regret it or are you going to regret it?
I'm going to regret it. My wallet's going to cry so hard. So I guess it's going to charity, so it's all good. I will exchange money for cookies.
Easy proposition right there.
Easy proposition.
Easy, chat. Easy.
Actually, are there enough Girl Scout cookie flavors over the years to do a greater than great debate on them?
Brent, write that down.
I mean, I know there for a while they were like there's the core that pray to God they never get rid of, but then there's like those weird flavors that come in and out over the years that they keep coming up with that, like, for a while they had those awful lemon cookies that were just like, you know, and then there's like the Thin Mints and the Tagalongs and the Samoas, like a frozen Tagalong on a hot summer day. If you can get them to last that long, like if you bury them in the bottom of the freezer and you find them in July, oh yeah, yeah, that's my jam right there. Anyway, we are not here to talk about Girl Scout cookies. We're here to talk.
But now I'm wrestling I'm looking it up, and we may have a debate.
You're welcome. See what I do for this network? I help this network. I come up with things for this network, unlike other people on this call.
Really. Really, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Going back to looking up cookies. You intro the show.
Okay. All right. So anyway, so we have a little bit of news that we have to talk about because some stuff did break over the holidays, but thankfully people kind of kept their cool and didn't do anything stupid. We're going to be doing Tweet of the Week in the first segment, and then when we come back from the break, we are doing our 2019 year in review, where we're going to talk all about the year-end awards, at least on our end, and what we feel, you know, is going to be like male wrestler of the year, female wrestler of the year, breakout star, all that fun stuff. And then Brent is going to join us for that, and he's going to bring his handy dandy. Oh my God. Okay. So before I intro Brent, there is a man at the Gator Bowl in a Tennessee Santa suit with a bottle of beer hanging around his neck, and on the bottom of the beer holder, there are baby doll feet.
I mean,
what? Just what? What did I just witness?
I don't know. I looked back and I saw it and I just went, okay.
Okay, anyway, so Brent's going to join us. By the way, I have the Gator Bowl on for the next 5 minutes until Tennessee loses, and then you'll hear me be really, really happy that Tennessee lost.
Reasons.
That have entirely to do with the fact that I really don't like anybody in the SEC. Anyway.
Wow, hot take.
I don't.
Hot take. Someone, a fan doesn't like people in the SEC. Hot take, y'all. Hot take. 2020, hot take.
I think they're a little overrated.
She's the first person ever to dislike the SEC. Hot take, 2020, right here
when
on the rack.
You grow up in an SEC state, and the biggest school in the state is SEC, you learn that trait. But yeah, so Brent is going to join us, getting back on topic, on the second half of the show, where he's going to go over what we picked at the beginning of 2019, where we felt that WWE was going to be at the end of 2019. It's always a fun game.
Yeah, and we're also going to, you know, make some picks of what we from our favorite moments of 2019 as well.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking all about that in the second half of the show. But let's jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Okay, what do we got?
And, well, I guess the biggest story of the week, there's actually technically two, but we're going to go ahead and jump on this one first, is that Arn Anderson has officially started with AEW in a full-on official capacity. I think he's been working kind of behind the scenes for a few months now, but he was on TV this past week, and it was announced that he will be mentoring and coaching Cody Rhodes specifically.
He's the head coach of the Nightmare Family.
So I think that's wonderful that he's working with Cody specifically. Not that I feel like Cody needs a lot of work in the wrestling ring, but I feel like in terms of on a more professional level, he needs a little help. And I've said that before. So I feel like Arn could be a really good influence for him on how to conduct himself on the backstage side of things. Arn has a lot of experience in that area.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see.
And he'll help him improve wrestling. Not that he's bad, but I mean, it's like it's goddamn Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
If don't learn something from wrestling him with him, then, you know, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah, he'll be his head coach and personal advisor for the 2020 season.
So there you go. The other big story, we'll talk about that here in a second because it kind of ties to the other story that we have. But just a quick note that New Japan Wrestling is no longer on Access TV.
Yeah, their deal was running out in 2021, but they were told, hey, you want to work with Impact Wrestling? They're like, nope. All right, bye.
Yeah, so that's kind of what happened there.
that's the story.
And as New Japan leaves Access TV, NXT and NXT UK are now joining Raw and SmackDown as a part of the BTE Sports deal over in the UK, so they will now air over there as well, which is great news.
And that's big on that for them.
That's huge, so congratulations to WWE. And speaking of NXT, it's coming back, y'all. It's that time of year. The Dusty Classic is returning, and we have the full list of tag teams that will be competing this year.
In a little bit of NXT versus NXT UK, it'll be the Imperium taking on the Forgotten Sons in a matchup. You have Matt Riddle teaming up with Pete Dunne, interesting pairing, to take on Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster. The Grizzled Young Veterans take on Kushida and To Be Announced, the always deadly To Be Announced. And Gallus will take on the Undisputed Era. This is a stacked tournament.
I'm very excited for this. I kind of can't wait.
People are wondering, oh, Mustache Mountain. Apparently they're not in the summer room.
It's kind of interesting that they're not in it. I would have liked to have seen it just for the tension with Riddle and Dunn. But as you pointed out, they're both in their own programs.
Yeah.
Singles-wise. So I feel like they maybe, you know, and we talked about this last night, that they aren't going to pull them out.
Yeah,
Trent
has a matchup coming up at the NXT UK TakeOver here in a couple weeks.
Go Trent! Woo! Go Trent! Very proud.
So there
and
you
Tyler?
Go.
Tyler? No, Tyler just went for the title. Not that
Tyler just went for the title, and he's sort of in the picture still, too. So there you go.
So there you go. So looking forward to that as we move forward in there. So I think that does it for the news. What do you think?
No.
No?
No. You missed one.
I missed one. What did I miss? There's only... Oh! Right!
The first one.
Have to talk about that, because that is the biggest story.
The first one listed. You forgot the first one listed.
I just glazed right over it, because I just saw the Blame Brents. or the section that we have in the sheet for the Blame Brents. Thankfully, there are none this week. And that is that on New Year's, she said, see y'all.
Woo!
Charlotte Flair and Andrade got engaged, so congratulations to them. They posted their adorable pictures out on social media so everybody could see. They're beaming and glowing because they're so happy that they're engaged. There are obviously no details on any wedding plans yet because they just got engaged on New Year's. But I'm sure they're both very excited and everybody's very happy for them. So congratulations.
They mentioned a year ago on New Year's, they were using Google Text and Translate to understand each other. Yes, in real life. So they were like, that's how far their relations come, where a year ago they were using Google Translate to learn each other's language. And now they're engaged to be married. This is her. Okay, God, she is a Flair. This is her third, going to be a third marriage.
I thought this was her second.
No, it's her third. It will be her third.
Was there one before Gunner?
Bram, you mean?
Bram?
I believe so.
No, I thought Bram was the first.
There was another person. It was in her book. We have her book somewhere. Hold on. This is where I'll look it up.
She's not that old. How could she have been married twice before?
Ricky Johnson in 2020. They were married for 3 years. And then Bram from 2013 to 2015. Yep. This will be her third.
Damn. Okay. All right.
I mean.
Anyway, congratulations, Charlotte.
Woo.
Woo. So yeah, on that note, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All righty. Kayla Braxton just snuck an entire full-size bottle of toothpaste through airport security with the gif, "I'm a thug, I'm a real thug." She then follows that up with, "Also, who calls it a toothpaste bottle? It's a tube, damn it." Facepalm emoji. Kayla Braxton, "Until I put my contact lenses in, I reserve the right to ignore all of life's responsibility." I'm with her, except I have glasses instead of contacts. I'm so on board for that. WWE's The Bump. "All Kayla Braxton wants for Christmas is a pancake. Happy holidays from The Bump." Kayla responds with, "One of these days, I'll get that pancake." She needs to go talk to Kofi.
Yeah.
Nick Merckx. "Bro, the best days are the ones where you can just lay in bed and eat everything." Dr. Lupo responds, "At Mrs. Dr. Lupo, winky face."
Oh, what you said, Lupo, I knew where it was going.
Myth. Another one for the books, and it has a picture. "Tweets I'll show Charlie when he's old enough. Thanksgiving booty dinner," and then the previous tweet.
Okay.
They have a very healthy relationship.
They do.
Dr. Lupo. "Thank you, Twitch. I know what I'll be doing with the next 6 years of my life," and he shows a picture of the collector's edition of the Star Wars Millennium Falcon Lego edition, which is hella complicated to put together. I know someone that has one. It's insane. Dr. Lupo. "For those curious, it," being the Millennium Falcon, "weighs as much as Courage JD, and I carried it downstairs myself." Courage JD, "What would happen if Tim Tatman and I ran into each other at full speed? Would time stop? Would our planet be destroyed? Would we fuse into one being?" Tim, "Not sure what would happen, but I know a buffet would be in the middle." Trevor May follows it up with, "It'd have a hearty laugh." Nick Merckx follows up with, I'm not sure which one he's saying, but he's basically says, "You would get laid the fuck out, Panda." And Courage is like, "It's unfair now that Tim has dad strength."
True. True.
I mean, it's very true. It's very true.
Any truer than that.
Courage JD, "Heading to the Bahamas now for the first time ever. If there are reports in the news of a large whale washed up on the beach, please don't stress. It's just me after my third trip to the hotel buffet." Cloaksy, "Is escape from Tarkov fun?" Dr. Lupo, "He doesn't know Pepe laugh."
Pega.
He said Pepe laugh.
Pepe laugh, okay.
Nick Merckx revealed his new streaming basement, which is ridiculous and crazy and awesome, and it's amazing. And if you haven't seen it, please go watch his video because it's awesome. And Dr. Lupo follows it up with, "Gorilla would still win versus a grizzly bro. A dope setup doesn't change that." I'm not sure why I favorited that one, but okay. Anyway, Pete Dunne, WWE tweeted out the Dusty Classic brackets, and, you know, in response to him being with Matt Riddle, Broserweight, Team Broserweight. Dr. Lupo, "Every year now, I remind myself that Courage, Tim, and Ninja are 1 year closer to their 30s, and I cannot fucking wait for those I'm old tweets to start happening. Someone needs to be ready with a big bucket of popcorn for me when it happens." Trevor May, "I'm old."
Trevor.
Honestly, I feel like since Courage is going to be the last one in that group to go, they just need to roast him.
Mm-hmm.
Just outright, just all of them, just go for it. They'll end him.
But it'll be okay.
But it'll be fine. Another one from Cloaks is "Escape from Tarkov fun." "Ha ha 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 ha. Fun," in quotations. "Boy, you are about to get your shit kicked in." Cloak really wants to try Tarkov.
He does.
Really wants to try it. Marcel, "Hear me out. Live action Emperor's New Groove starring Kevin Hart and The Rock."
Okay.
Somebody make that happen. Just please somebody make that happen. Courage JD, "I can't believe people are out there actually liking lettuce and tomato. Lettuce and tomato ruin everything they touch. Yuck." Tim, "Says the fatty that eats pizza. Okay, bro." Jack, "Tomato when it's in solid form is trash. Now some tomato soup? Fire. Pizza sauce? Fire." He's on point with that. And I'm glad I'm not the only person that's like that. I hate whole tomatoes. Hate them. Cannot stand them. Because they leave the seeds and the jelly and the goop and the crap all over everything. Now pizza sauce, tomato soup.
You're good.
Tomato if it's pureed and not solid in any capacity, it's fine. Myers Leonard. Yo Tifu. Happy birthday, my guy. Keep crushing life and let me know when you're ready to destroy Cloaksy and Beer Pong again. Tim the Tatman. Shut up, Shorty. Cloaksy, you're both so ugly. And that's all I have. All
right. The following tweets are from one person. Rob Schellenberger from Monday Night Raw. Spoiler, I'm in that effing cake. Guys, I'm waiting for my cue to pop out. I'm wearing a bedazzled Stormtrooper helmet and I probably shouldn't be tweeting right now. Is Lana still talking? Is that my cue? I'm not very professional. It smells weird in here. I think they put a dead fish in with me as a rib, but I can't sell ribs. That's what I learned in a book. Lana's still talking? When am I getting my cue? Everyone's tweeting about Lana's makeup. I'm really questioning my life right now. It smells like a dead fish in the cake.
Was he live tweeting?
Yep. This was all as the segment was going on. I really shouldn't have drank so much green tea in catering earlier. I have a Powerade bottle. Can I finish relieving myself before my cue? I don't know anything. I'm going to talk to my therapist about all this. Is this my cue? Who's this guy? I really should have paid attention earlier. I'm bad at my job. Trout. This cake smells like a dead trout. The ring bounce. Is that the cue? I don't want to mess this up. It's a big night, and this segment is going so well. I brought a Snickers with me. Maybe I should eat it. Snickers satisfies. TM. My foot fell asleep. This is weird. I bet those guys who had that match everyone made fun of didn't have to deal with a cake-shaped box that smells like a dead trout. I'll take them both. I'm hardcore. Snickers and dead trout, I mean. I think this is my cue. I'm here to shock the world. It's me. Wait, where did Rusev come from? I got bumped? Damn it. Next time, I guess. Oh, God, that was perfect. All right, now other tweets. Gotta scroll all the way back down. So WWE tweeted out Braun Strowman dancing on SmackDown. Kayla, my whole mood forever. Where was Braun Strowman when I needed a date to homecoming dance? Braun, slide up into my DMs next time you need a date. Let's see. Courage JD, in 2018, my life was streaming. It was the unhealthiest I've ever been. I didn't do anything but sit at my computer. In 2019, streaming was my passion, but I've had life outside of streaming. I'm down 15 pounds in a fantastic relationship, and I've been happier than ever. Dr. Lupo, I quit gaming 6 months ago, bought a new car. I have an amazing girlfriend. I made a shitload of money on buying a house this spring. I party every weekend. I'm never home. I'm enjoying life. Do yourselves a favor. Stop trying to make gaming a career. It's cringe as fuck. Courage. Follow for follow. And that was just a copy pasta. Just be right for anyone gets upset about it. Not sports center. Breaking. Atlanta police have arrested LSU quarterback Joe Burrow and charged him with brutally murdering 11 men from Oklahoma.
I mean... It's not a lie. That game was just... That was absolutely brutal to watch. Like, not for nothing, but... I still maintain that there needs to be a mercy rule in college football just for the pure benefit of everybody involved. Because when a team is up 53-13 and there's still two quarters left to play in the game, it's like, can we just not? Like, there's no conceivable way that this other team is going to catch up. There's just no way they can do that in two quarters. It's not possible. Oh, like, LSU would have to drop dead. And even then, I don't know if they could catch up. So, like, I feel like for college football, it should be a thing. Oh, wait. When did Tennessee catch up? No! No! Indiana! Do your damn job! Beat them!
Cloaksy, if In-N-Out and Five Guys combined, it still wouldn't be as good as Shake Shack. Dr. Lupo. Squad Black? At Courage Ninja Tapman. Actually, PJ and Trevor. Tim. All in favor? Aye. Trevor May. Hard in. Tim the Tapman. This deadass may be the worst tweet of 2019. Cloaksy, your tweet about the Cowboys winning every week and they've lost the last 5 of their 7 games. And Paul, way to sneak in your worst tweet of the decade 3 days before 2020. Cloaksy, hey, sorry it took me so long to answer. Was staring at my verify tab.
Ooh.
Ouch.
I mean, yeah.
Damn.
They go hard all day, all night.
He did.
Corey Graves, ask my kids to pick some music to listen to while we take down Christmas tree. They naturally settle on the Fiend's entrance music. Naturally.
I mean, it's good music. Don't judge. Don't judge your children.
Lance Storm, my new favorite song. So much cooler with lyrics. Granted, I have no idea what they're saying. It's a Shinsuke song with lyrics. Corey Graves, it's actually super aggressive recipe for oatmeal cookies. Austin Creed, Liv comes out, reveals her and Lana's secret relationship, and now Lana's got egg on her face. I mean, maybe not egg, but makeup transfer at the very least. Wedding chair still empty. Drama!
Xavier Woods had so much fun with this.
He did. Cloak, I streamed more than Tim the Tatman and Ninja combined in 2020. Sup. Courage, that's dope, dude. You also suck at beer pong. Pong. Haha. Lupo, I've been literally streaming for the entire year so far. No one is even close to my level. WWE Creative-ish. Apparently, when the clock struck midnight, WWE 2K20 was the only piece of technology in record history to be impacted by Y2K. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah. Rusev. Yeah. The Decade. 2010. Taxi Driver. 11. WWE/Tour ACL. 12. Broken Neck. 13. 60 Days to Get Better or Fired. 14. Main Roster. 15. Tank. 16. Got Married. 17. Shoulder Surgery. Rusev Day was born. 18. Undertaker. 19. U.S. Citizen. 20. To 30. Can't wait! I like how 18 was just Undertaker.
Well, I mean... That's a big highlight.
It is. And this one's from Brent. The final tweet of the week.
Oh, God. Don't end him. His year just started.
Colin Cowherd. The Cowboys are really clicking today. I mean, it's like 3 months late, but the boys are... But boy, are they rolling.
You realize he's going to come on the air and yell at you, right?
You mean after this break?
Yeah, after this break. So everybody sit tight. And we're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, we're going to grab the intern. And we are going to do 2019, a year in review. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight-ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with The Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa, I mean, it's amazing.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flow Rider's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Watching WTR Live programming just became more rewarding with WTR Live Championship Rewards. Earn WTR Live Contender Points and cash them in for WTR Live Championship Rewards, including creating an greater than great debate topic, create an all-time greatest bracket, or even produce the topics for an entire episode of Wrestle Talk Radio. You are probably wondering, how do I earn WTR Live Contender Points? Simple. Just watch us live at twitch.tv/WTRLive. It's that easy. It now makes it worth it to listen to Tim's bad jokes. Start earning your WTR Live Contenders points now by listening to all of our programming live at twitch.tv/WTRLive.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree,
and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins, and you're listening to the Rat Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
And welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, where it is Pop Goes the Rack. It is our first show of 2020. Everybody celebrate. Like I said, if you're just joining us, I hope that everybody had a really happy and safe and fun New Year's. If you did drink, hopefully you're not too hungover still, although from what I'm hearing, some people are. So maybe not drink that hard next year.
Don't go hard all day, all night.
Don't go hard all day, all night, especially on the claws. Please, please don't go hard on the claws. So you missed our news segment. You missed Tweet of the Week. But now we are going to do our 2019 and year in review. But before we get there, there is some breaking news that just came out.
What is it?
It's not wrestling related, but we do have to talk about it because it does tie to our very special guest. And that is that after many, many, many days of speculation and making people wait for it, Jason Garrett has officially been told, or the agreement has been reached, I don't know how you want to phrase it, that he will not be returning as the Cowboys head coach. Now, it should be noted that he did not get fired. They did not terminate him. They just decided not to renew his contract, which is, I guess, the same thing, but not the same thing.
No, means this.
Hashtag blame Rock.
You're fired!
Politely. They did it politely, though.
I hate that Saunders so much.
I know. No, you can't talk yet. Your intro has not been played. You cannot talk. You cannot add any comments. So, mute.
So, here to comment.
Mute.
On the subject is our very special guest. Quick play Saunders before he's talked.
From the Super Kick Party, the elite assistant to the assistant regional NXT analyst, the intern Kane Critchens.
Super
I am so more over than those guys, okay? At least I have a better win-loss record than the Bucks do right now.
No, they're undefeated this year.
They are.
They're undefeated this year.
This year. But remember, lifetime career records do matter, apparently, although I don't fucking know how. So yeah, Rock, you played the wrong sounder for the situation. It's not Rock. It's not a blame Rock. It's a blame Lindsay.
No, they weren't married.
No, technically it's not.
They are breaking up. They are divorcing. It is not a firing because the contract is just not being allowed to run out.
No, it's a firing. He just really loves Jason Garrett. He just loves him too much to fire him. So he's just letting him go. Politely.
It's more of a divorce than it is a firing.
It's kind of sort of kicking his ass out the door is what it is. I mean, let's all be completely honest.
No. It's not kicking his ass out the door. It's telling him to leave and take all the kids with him.
Well, he can't take the team. I'm pretty sure Jerry would get upset.
No, not those kids. All the other coaches.
Did they clear out the entire team yet?
I haven't heard, but rumor was everyone was going.
I know, that was funny.
Although, if that happens, I have a feeling Kellen Moore and Rod Marinelli are both going to get picked up real quick.
I have a funny feeling the Browns just got a brand new coaching staff, if that's the case. Because I'm pretty sure they'll take all of them lock, stock, and barrel and not complain about it.
And they can enjoy 8-8.
So,
you know what? I'm pretty sure the Browns would take 8-8.
They would. But we have one more tweet of the week. I want Brent's reaction to this one. Tim the Tap Man. Cowboys undefeated next season. Thoughts?
Tim, I heart you, but no.
Remember this tweet? Undefeated next season? No.
Rock, I just want to say, you know me, you know I'm a rational fan.
Yeah, rational.
No, honestly, like,
yeah, you are.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you shit, go on.
If there's a game that I, you know, we'll enter into a game and I'll be like, yeah, don't really feel good about this one. Yep, don't think this one's going to happen. So, yeah, I'm never going to proclaim we're going to go 16-0 and run the thing. Could we go, like, 11-5 sometimes with the talent we have? Sure, but that also takes a lot of things going in our favor. The one thing that's going to be a benefit to us next season is we don't have that first place schedule. Have fun with that.
Woot woot.
Green Bay.
Beat them already. We beat Buffalo too. You lost to both those teams. Anyway, we're not here to talk football. We're here to talk wrestling. 2019. Stuff happened.
This is where my revenge hits.
We don't need you yet. Because we got to go through some topics first.
Well, but he can comment.
No, I mean his list. We don't need his list.
Yeah, not the list yet. But
we're not ready for the list. We're here to review what was 2019. And we have categories to discuss. And the first one, we wrote down 5 names last night for male wrestler of the year. It's really a 2-man race. But to be fair, we figured we needed to throw a few more names in there. So we have Seth Rollins, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole, Bay Bay, and Bray Wyatt. It's really Cole and Bray are your 2 top contenders on this one. If you're talking match quality, it leans one way. If you're talking about performance and getting yourself over, you lead towards Bray, right, Lindsay?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to say, like, to judge this, because Adam Cole has been an absolute workhorse for NXT this year. He's taken the ball and he's hit it out of the park. He's run with it. He's done everything that they've asked him to do. He proved his worth Survivor Series weekend.
Just in November.
Given the whole month, he proved his absolute worth and his absolute mettle, and I don't think he was even close to being done. So, as much as I love Bray, and Bray's going to come up a lot in these categories because he's done a lot this year, I can't say he's male wrestler of the year, because honestly, there hasn't been as much wrestling for Bray. Now, that being said, we're going to talk about him later for another category, because I feel like he's a definite winner in another category. But here, as much as I love everybody else on that list, it has to go to Adam Cole. It has to. You can't not give it to Adam Cole.
Brian, you have an opinion? You don't have to take any of these 5. If you have a name in your head and go, That's wrestler of the year. You can bring it up.
No, honestly, your top five are roughly what I would put with it. Rollins carried the company, the main roster company, for most of the year.
He beat Brock twice.
He beat Brock twice. He was the workhorse on Raw and putting on, you know, 20-30 minute matches every show because they needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the start of the year, the face of the company was gone. Roman had announced he was sick and he was out. So someone needed to take the ball. Seth took it. Seth ran with it. And he kept running out of the damn stadium like he was Forrest Gump. The problem with Seth, though, was he had great matches, but he just didn't have the crowd. Some of that could be when they did the whole Becky storyline and, you know, maybe some of the wind got taken out of his sails. Some of it was just, I don't know, Seth as a face is okay, but there's something lacking. He just plays the smarmy kind of heel too well. So, superstar, I mean, he carried that division. Johnny, I'd love to give it to Johnny just because of everything that happened this year with him. He started the year as a heel, which I think a lot of fans didn't expect. It was, you know, he turned on Aleister Black, attacked Aleister Black, and was revealed as the one who did it. He then made a deal with the devil and tagged with Tommaso again in the Dusty Classic, had the great moment of turning on Tommaso back to face when Tommaso tried to take him out again.
Mm-hmm.
And then had probably what a lot of people would say is a match of the year candidate, if not winner, with Adam Cole in the 2 out of 3 falls match.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing, though, when it comes to Gargano is he got hurt towards the end of the year.
Which is unfortunate. Same with Ciampa. Ciampa missed a bunch during the year.
Yeah, and I would say also Tommaso Ciampa at the beginning of the year was the face of NXT.
If you remember correctly, both of them were called up.
Mm-hmm.
They were called up.
Yep. And then Tommaso got hurt. Johnny had to carry NXT. And then they put Adam in that championship program, and holy shit, did that make the year. But I think, honestly, if we're talking male superstar of the year, there's one person who had it throughout the year. Oh, final thing, Bray, entertaining as all hell, I'll give him that. When he's had a couple of matches, he's been really good, but this has been only about a third of the year that he's been around.
He's been around since May, so.
But a lot of it has been behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
With the Firefly Funhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're looking for superstar of the year, like male superstar of the year, it has to go to the man whose prophecy came true, and his boys are sitting there draped in gold, Adam Cole, Bay Bay.
So that's the male side, so we'll go Adam Cole for that. Female-wise, there are some contenders. There's some dark horses like Nikki Cross, who had a really, really good year. Then you have Rhea Ripley, who in the last, I don't know, 2-3 months has really come on the scene and become a major star. And then you have the consistent forces. Becky Lynch, Bayley, and Shayna Baszler, Lindsay.
Shayna, again, carried the division, the women's division at NXT for almost 2 years, I think, combined. She has, again, you want to talk about workhorses, that's Shayna Baszler. She's been out there. She's been doing her thing. She's been a great heel. Becky had the breakout of breakouts this year.
She won the main event of WrestleMania.
She was in the main event of WrestleMania. She beat Ronda Rousey. She has carried WWE on her shoulders. She took being the face of the company right out from under Seth. And has just absolutely done the thing to...
Right from out underneath Seth Rollins.
She put him right on the bottom. Where some would argue he belongs. Anyway, that's another topic for another time. Not on this show.
It was too easy.
I know. Just like Seth. Anyway. Or so I've been told. Nikki Cross had a great year. Bayley, I don't know. I go back and forth on it because Bayley was having a good year. She's SmackDown Women's Champion. She had a very surprising heel turn that I feel like is honestly fizzling a little bit, just because I think she's having a bit of an identity crisis. And while she's trying her best to do what she's trying to do, it's just not coming across how she wants it to. So I'm not sure if Bayley quite qualifies.
Well, the argument for Bayley is that she's been champion since May. I know she lost it once, but it was like for 4 days. She's been champion of SmackDown since basically after winning Money in the Bank. Right?
Oh, I know. And I'm not saying Bayley doesn't deserve to be on the list. I just feel like there are other stronger contenders because one of them being, I feel like it's kind of for me between sort of Becky and Rhea. And Rhea, she had a phenomenal 2019. I think she was the inaugural NXT Women's Champion. Set the record on that. You know, basically set all the records in NXT. Got too big, or NXT UK, got too big for UK, so they brought her to the US. And she's been a dominant force in the US since she arrived, proving her mettle again in November by competing in a War Games match, followed by the Survivor Series match, and then finally beating Shayna Baszler and ending her run as what seemed like the eternal champion to close out the year, and did it in spectacular fashion. So, honestly, I think I have to give it to Rhea.
What about you, Brent?
Rhea did well across two companies, or two promotions, NXT UK.
They're called brands. They're called brands.
The two brands. She did well across the two brands, the UK version and then the mainland NXT. Had some good matches with Toni Storm, all of that. I am not going to take anything away from her. And plus, also, she was just an absolute freaking beast in War Games. I don't think anyone will deny that. That was her coming out party. And then she just put a bow on it by beating Shayna. To me, I think it comes down to two people. One of them is Shayna Baszler, and the other is Becky Lynch. Shayna had her run of NXT. She had her horsewomen with her. You know, there were good moments with all of that. But if we're going to talk female star of the year, and I know a lot of people are going to say it's a homer pick, but there was one person who pulled double duty at the Royal Rumble. God damn it, Lindsay.
You could have looked at that after.
Damn it. I know, but there was a picture. But there was one person who pulled double duty at the Royal Rumble. Lost the belt, but then got her steam back by winning the big match against her nemesis at the time. Then goes on to take on the person she should have fought a couple of months earlier. And then her nemesis is also thrown into that match and headlines WrestleMania and finishes out the WrestleMania moment by holding up both belts that she won that night. She then ran roughshod over the rest of the company. And I don't mean like putting people down, but just take, you know, there's taking the brass ring. And that's exactly what she did when they gave her her moment. Starting with SummerSlam the year before. When she turned on Charlotte and beat her down, they tried to turn her heel. The fans wouldn't let it happen. She just got more popular with the fans at that point, and it just grew and grew throughout the year, with that ultimate moment being WrestleMania when she held up both belts and took her place as the face of the company. And since then, she hasn't really had bad outings after. I mean, I would say the Hell in the Cell match that she had with Sasha was probably one of the best we've had in recent years, men or women.
We
watched that match and we were just like, Jesus, this is brutal.
Every time she goes out, Becky puts 110% in to what she does. And you can tell because this matters to her. Not that it doesn't matter to anybody else, but this is important to her. She knows what her position in the company means, and to be put where she is at the top of the company to basically have the title for almost a year at this point is a big, big deal, especially in a highly competitive division. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
And I think it's one of those things of, and she'll admit this, you know, 2 years ago, she was, I don't want to say irrelevant, but it was that kind of thing of, she was fighting just to make TV. And if she was, it was, you know, a 5 minute match. Yeah, the fans liked her, but there wasn't really anything to it. It was just kind of like, oh, look, there's Becky. They finally gave her that push. They finally were like, okay, we're going to put everything behind you. What are you going to do about it? And she has just taken it and run in that she's not going to let this, you know, this time get squandered at all.
Mm-mm. No, I would agree with that. Brock?
I'm on Team Becky on this one. She won the Royal Rumble. She won WrestleMania. She's main event at 4 shows this year. That's an accomplishment for any female, which is awesome. I'm going Becky.
Well, and the one thing I'll say is early on in the career, you know, in the women's evolution, a lot of the spots that were being given for, you know, like the big spots were Charlotte and Sasha. Mm-hmm. You know, the first Hell in a Cell, the big WrestleMania women's matches. It was typically those two of the four horsewomen. And now you're starting to see that it's like, okay, Becky and Bayley has been there throughout and has been sprinkled in with some of these big moments. But it's like, now is that kind of time of like, okay, yeah, Charlotte's had her moments. And yeah, she was in the WrestleMania main event, but it's like, but now it's Becky's turn.
And others.
And others. Yeah. And I think she's done it, you know, I'll give her credit. She tried. She really tried, you know, with Lacey Evans. And, you know, she's helping to, you know, reinvigorate, like, Asuka
mm-hmm.
with this feud. And the fact of, you know, this upcoming match with Asuka, it's starting to feel like a big deal in that, you know, Becky wants to beat her and needs to beat her in a way.
It's almost like it's a true rival.
Right, it's Cena and Rock, too.
I would more say Austin Rock, because the Rock's goal at the end was to finally beat Steve Austin at WrestleMania. That was his main driving force for the final WrestleMania battle between the two.
And so, I was gonna say, there's another link you can make. I mean, it's not to the level, but the way that it's being portrayed with one of the people, it feels a little bit like Shawn Taker too. I mean, career not on the line, but Becky's like, I have to beat you. I need to prove it to myself. I need to do this.
Yeah, it's an obsession thing.
Well, and I feel like it kind of goes back, it ties back to NXT, because Becky never beat Asuka in NXT, because that's when Asuka was there and she was so completely dominant, and they've traded places. Essentially, where now Becky is on top, she's dominant, and Asuka's not as high, but she's still every bit as dangerous as what she was in NXT, and nobody should think otherwise. Just because they have not been pushing her as hard, they really took their foot off the gas pedal with her, I think, to just give her space, because when she came up, it was like no one could beat her, nobody beat her for the title. I think she vacated it, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So she vacated the NXT women's title, and then they kind of pushed her into the main event a little bit, and then have since backed off of her to sort of let her cool down enough to where they can bring her back into this feud, which she's now with Kairi Sane, and they're just owning what they're doing, and they're so badass at it. And for Becky, it's like she's seeing that, and Asuka's a threat. Asuka's a legit threat to Becky, because if anybody can beat her, it's Asuka, because she's already done it. And that's why it matters. This is like, no, I know I can beat Charlotte. I know I can beat Bayley. I know I can beat Sasha. I know I can beat every woman in this division except for you, because I never did it. I was never able to do it.
So that's female of the year.
That is female of the year.
Tag team of the year. This one's pretty straightforward. But I have 5 nominees. New Day, Revival, Street Profits, Viking Raiders, and then Undisputed Era. I think we can all agree on Undisputed Era on this one.
I don't know. You know, and here's why.
Okay, give me the argument.
Street Profits broke out this year in a huge way. where they were sort of teetering on oblivion there for a minute, and we were all like, oh, yeah, you know, Street Profits, yeah, they're okay, they're all right. You know, I haven't seen them in a while, yada-da-yada-da-yada-da-yada-da. Then I know where they came in and they won the titles, and they've been just on fire ever since. Viking Raiders have been absolutely dominant. They were dominant in NXT, and they came up to the main roster, and they were the same way. They had a crap name change after WrestleMania, which nobody really liked, but we've all gotten over it. And they're just running the tag division on Raw with the titles.
Mm.
So, I mean, Undisputed Era's had a great year. New Day has been a steady constant. Revival, I think they're the weakest of the bunch, but I would argue Street Profits or Viking Raiders are right up there with Undisputed Era, because, I mean, the Viking Raiders have the titles right now. Street Profits had the NXT titles.
Yeah, but from pure dominance, Undisputed Era is just sort of...
But the Street Profits beat Undisputed Era.
Yeah, but then the Street Profits lost to Undisputed Era.
I mean, if you want to talk pure dominance... I would argue the Viking Raiders just on dominance alone.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think, Brent?
Honestly, when you started throwing out the names, I was waiting for one of them, and when you said Viking Raiders, that's my tag team of the year. For what they did with NXT, the fact that, like we saw with Asuka, they didn't lose the NXT titles. They laid, you know, they put them on the ground and said, we're going up to the main roster, and no one beat us for this. The Profits gave it a really good run, but no one beat the Viking Raiders.
Yeah, they said, peace out. We're mm-hmm. going.
And then they went to the main roster, and yeah, a lot of the early and mid matches that they had were developmental talent, but they made them look like beasts the second they hit the main roster.
But here's the thing, when they had a legit match, I don't remember which one he is for the name change, but Hansen. Can we just talk about Hansen? I mean, oh my god, the things that man can do. Like, Ro was awesome, but Hansen. Every time they let Hansen do what he does best, he is an absolute beast and a star. And I think that's where they have an edge on Undisputed Era. Undisputed Era as a faction is fantastic. O'Reilly and Fish on their own, they're wonderful. Everybody knows I love me some Kyle O'Reilly. I think he's adorable. But if I have to hold Undisputed Era up against the Viking Raiders, I have to pick the Viking Raiders. I really do.
Okay.
Sorry, I just do.
All right. Let's move the feud of the year. Or not feud of the year, breakout star of the year. I have four people. Three of which we've sort of discussed, and one name we haven't. Rhea Ripley, Nikki Cross, Keith Lee, and The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. Thoughts, Lindsay?
For me, there is only one answer. It's Bray Wyatt.
The Fiend. And the Fiend.
The Fiend, and to a lesser extent, Funhouse Bray. Because he has left this gimmick... And I've said this 100 times, and I'll say it 100 more times. What he's doing could have gone horribly wrong for him. This gimmick was such a crapshoot for him because it's either going to work or it's not going to work. There was no people are just going to be meh on it. It's they're either going to like it or they're not going to like it. And the fact that he took his time. He was gone for a year, recovering and dealing with personal issues and everything else. He took his time during that year. He came up with a completely new version of the character, completely changed his look, got himself in shape, and crafted all of this is one thing. But then when you think about the fact that he's doing basically 6 characters, because he does the Fiend, he does Funhouse Bray, he does the Wyatt Jim Bray, and then he does all the puppets. So actually, technically, I think it's 7 that he's doing for one gimmick. That is impressive as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have their own personalities, and they all have their own mannerisms and everything. Like, it is insane what he's done with this. And he's, and the best part of this entire thing is he got it over. This hit the wrestling world, and it's turned the wrestling world on its ear. Because it's 100% original. It's 100% genuine. It is him being him and doing what he does best. And he, nobody can duplicate what he's doing right now. Because that's the one thing about the Swamp Bray that was interesting was when he came on the scene with that. That was original. Nobody had been doing that up to that point. And then you saw people starting to copy him and do that. So he changed. And now he's doing the Fiend. And again, nobody out there is doing this. Nobody out there even considered doing this. And then on top of all of that, he's a goddamn money-making machine. Because the gimmick is so marketable. WWE now has a license to print money because of it. Nobody else on this list, I'm sorry, nobody else on this list has done this. He's the number one merch seller. They shot him straight to the Universal title because of all of this. He is literally sitting right with Becky on top of the company right now because of this gimmick. It's insane what he's done. I mean, I'm not trying to knock Rhea. I'm not trying to knock Nikki. And I'm certainly not trying to knock Keith Lee. But there's one person who truly did have a breakout year, and it's Bray Wyatt.
Right.
Okay. Rhea and Keith, in my opinion, both are just starting. They've had the moment that kind of set them apart. With Rhea, it was, I would honestly say, again, War Games, I think, was her big moment. And then the match with Shayna, which was set up in that match, kind of started that, what's going to be an exponential climb, in my opinion. Keith, same weekend, and he's been cursed with the injury bug at the inopportune time during that initial feud with Dijakovic. Mm-hmm. Because they had that great feud, and then he got hurt, and it just kind of put everything in pause. And it could have gone the way of someone like Hideo Itami, where, you know, like, injury at the inopportune time just derails everything. But Keith came back, and we've talked about this before, Rock, where it's that kind of thing of, you've heard about Keith Lee, and you've heard he's this big deal on the independent scene, and you're like, okay, I wonder what this is. We've now started to see it, and you start to go, holy crap, this guy really is the real deal.
Mm-hmm. I said it every week he would be on NXT TV. It's like, I'm still waiting to see what Keith Lee is. Still waiting, still waiting, still waiting.
And now you've started to see.
Now you're starting to see why, okay, this is why people talked about him. Because it was like, oh, he's a big guy, did some moves, you really didn't see him. And it's like, okay. Now when he's putting it all together and he's healthy and he's doing his thing, it's like, okay, now I see it.
And you're starting to see, I mean, it's inconsequential, but it's a way of getting buzz about him. You get these great gifts coming out of the stuff, and he knows it, and he sets it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the probably the best one, so you have the one of him, you know, Finn in the corner, about ready to do the shotgun dropkick, and Keith just pops up like a horror villain, and the look on Finn's face is amazing. But the best gif of all is by our male superstar of the year, ending about five rows into the crowd, thanks to Keith Lee and the pounce.
Yeah.
You just see Adam Cole, and then he disappears.
He got bounced.
he got frequent flyer miles on that move. But if we're talking about, like, breakout star, there really is one person.
Nikki Cross. No.
No, You know I love my crazy little cupcake. And I think she's getting more attention now, and I think she's getting the chance that she never really had before when she was part of Sanity.
When she was first brought up on the main roster, it was like, what are they gonna do with her? What brand is she gonna be on? No one knew what they were gonna do. And throughout the year she's been consistently delivering whatever situation they put her into.
Mm-hmm. No, she's someone that you can always have in a really good, you know, she can carry a match, she can just go out there and steal the show. And honestly, her and Alexa together is fantastic, only for the fact of you thought it was going to be this quick, you know, it was going to be the Nia Jax story all over again. It was going to be this quick thing of, oh, I'm going to use the crazy girl to get what I want over. But then I think they realized they had a little more there, and it let Alexa be kind of a bit of a face, but still have that kind of Alexa attitude to it all.
Mm-hmm.
And with it, she was able to bring Nikki along, because the fans, you know, they gravitate towards Alexa. She just has that kind of personality where everyone just, even when she's, you know, running them down and hating on them, they want more of her.
Yeah.
And by having Nikki in that orbit, it pulls her into that same frame. And so Nikki, being the eccentric one of the two, everyone got endeared to her.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of breakout star of the year, there's one person who has set the company afire this year. And I mean, almost close to literally setting it on fire.
But I don't think they'll let him.
But just being able to have two different characters, and and here's the one thing I will say, especially about it. You can tell how much the company is involved with this by the fact that they got Tom Savini, a huge name in Hollywood in terms of special effects, in terms of, you know, wanting to put this over, and allowing Bray to bring Savini in, craft a mask to wrestle in that's scary as all hell, craft a lantern that the second we all saw it, we went, what the fuck was that? And you were just in awe. You were a little scared, but you were mostly in awe. And that's something that before, when it came to Bray Wyatt, yeah, he had a cool entrance. Yeah, he had those moments where you thought he was going to take that next step, and then John Cena would come along and Roman Reigns and everyone else. But now it's to that point where I don't think anything can derail him right now.
No, there's nothing to derail him. He's set in a direction and just ready to go.
But I do have to bring up one point. Lindsay, I remember when they first debuted the Firefly Funhouse.
Mm-hmm.
What was your reaction?
Oh, I hated it. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I almost cried.
She did.
I sat here and I almost cried. She did. Because I was like, what the fuck did they do to him?
Yep.
I'm still not 100% on it.
But
my moments.
She's come around.
I'm coming around. I like the Fiend portion of it. I love the rabbit. I feel sorry for the rabbit. I want to just protect him at all costs, because why they're so mean to him, I don't know. I hate the Wyatt Jim stuff. I cannot stand that.
Oh, come on!
No, I can't do it. I can't go that far with it. I'm sorry. I just can't. I will go to great lengths for that man. That's my limit right there.
Just do the Muscle Man dance.
No.
Yes!
Absolutely not. No. But yeah, I mean,
it's Bray. It's
Bray. Yeah. What matters is that he's on TV, he's in a really good spot, and you can tell that he's enjoying himself and he's challenged. And he's challenged on a level that it's good for him. Because I think he was struggling with, especially there at the end, with the Swamp character gimmick and where they could take it. Because the problem with that, at least to me, was always the cult leader portion of the character was somewhat reliant on followers. If Bray Wyatt didn't have followers with him, it wasn't nearly as impactful. So you could never break the cult leader out of the family because it didn't work. It didn't make sense. You needed to have Luke and Eric and Braun there. And it's like, at some point he's got to go solo. He's got to go on his own. And they have to go off and they have to do their thing. That's only fair. You can't keep them all together all the time, because they all have their own desires and wants and ambitions. So honestly, him, as much as I hated it, going off TV for a year, and it was a year that he was gone, did everything it needed for him. Because again, like I said, he could do the full reset, and it's kind of come out in pieces the way that he did it, because the company was behind him and the company was with him on the Savini stuff, but he got all that done. He came up with all of that. He worked with a concept artist to come up with the lantern, to come up with the mask, to come up with the whole shebang. And then they took that to Savini, and Savini made it. And he worked with Savini's artists to help bring all of that to life. Like, that's what's so amazing about this, and shows you just, when people say he's a genius, they're not kidding. The entire thing comes from him, from his brain, which scares the shit out of me, what's going on in his head.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a little freaky what goes on in that man's head, but at the same time, it's absolute brilliance what he's done with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just, it is.
So,
but I still hate the Muscle Man dance.
Everyone loves the Muscle Man dance.
So I hate it.
So we have one last category where I'm going to go through really fast, and there's names, things I remember that are submitted on it. So I'm going to run through them really quick. Moment of the year. We just talked about the debut of the Firefly Funhouse. That was a huge moment. You have Shock and Awe moment where Braun Strowman and Lashley went through the set of Monday Night Raw. Becky Lynch, Ronda, and Charlotte getting arrested on the build-up to WrestleMania. And them two fighting in the back of the police car. Kicking and screaming. That was great. You have Finn Balor returning to NXT. Kevin Owens showing up at TakeOver. That was the big one. NXT TakeOver SmackDown when they were stuck in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, that was great.
And I think there's something else. There's one moment I'm missing.
I mean, I'm trying to remember it. It was somebody turning on somebody else, and a knee got slammed into a cage about 20 billion times. And
I don't know what you're talking about.
They're both from the Australian region, but they're not from Australia. I think one's from New Zealand, and
one's
maybe
from Wales.
One's Welsh. I mean, which is not Australia, but what was that? I mean,
Dakota Kai turns on best friend Tegan Knox. At War Games.
Okay. I just have to say something. If we're going to talk about show of the year, can we just say it was TakeOver War Games?
We're not doing show of the year.
I understand, but I'm just saying, you've just mentioned two or three moments, and you forgot about Adam Cole dying for our sins.
But yeah.
Twice.
In amongst that as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, in short, yeah, moment of the year, there's so many just great things that happened. There's other things that if you think about it, and you hypothetically it could happen, but we'll move past that. But I mean, yeah, there was a lot of great things. The first ever women's main event. Seth going out and beating Brock Lesnar in about 2 minutes at WrestleMania in the opening match.
Yeah.
In the curtain jerker that we all went, wait, what?
Yeah. So much happened. It's hard to pick a moment. So we're not going to pick one. There's just some that came off the top of the head. Because we're running long. Let's get into your list, right?
All right. So we're going to go over.
Wait. What did we decide?
We didn't decide. There's too many to choose from. Unless you want to actually pick one.
Firefly Funhouse.
There you go. Yeah. She made the full decision. There you go.
All right. Executive decision. All right. So we're going to go over the picks that you made last year, and then we'll quickly go through and you'll do picks for this year.
Let's see how bad we did.
All right. We're going to start off at the very top of the card. Your WWE Universal Champion, Rock. You went with the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. Lindsay, you went with someone who's not even with the company anymore.
Who'd
you Moxley?
Moxley? No, I think his name's Dean Ambrose.
So,
as I recall, I think I pardon the pun, wrestled with this decision.
So those would be two for us on that one.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
All right, Intercontinental Champion Lindsay went with Ricochet. He had a secondary title, but just not that one. I have to laugh more at Rock's choice because his champion is in the top 1%. I think you deserve a second one for that, Rock. There we go. All right. Your Raw Tag Team Champions. Rock went with the Usos. They got a criminal rap sheet this year, just not the Raw Tag Team. Oh, Brock's got the soundboard. And Lindsay went with the Wyatt family. I mean, technically, they were SmackDown champions they were at one point during the year.
I mean, they were bludgeoning people for a little bit.
Well, yeah.
Not even with the company anymore.
True.
And one of them has a cage that we don't know what's in.
True.
Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda's in there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that'd be amazing. All right, your Raw Women's Champion, Rock, went with the Blueprint, Sasha Banks.
Who says Close. Who says Blueprint?
She does.
Oh.
She does. That's what she's calling herself.
She calls herself the Blueprint because of the Blueprint. Lindsay went with Charlotte. She got herself a ring, though, so she's a winner in the end.
But that was this year.
Yeah. All right. So that's your Raw side. Your SmackDown side, your WWE champion. Rock, he wants to burn it down. He went with Seth Rollins.
I mean, that's sort of this.
Wrong brand.
Okay, but he was champion for a while. It was a good pick. He was a champion
and
for a while.
And speaking of wrong brand,
hold on,
Lindsay's.
He was a Universal Champion, and that's on SmackDown.
But you picked the WWE Championship, which was This is WWE Champion who was on SmackDown.
Yeah, yeah.
Lindsay, you too have someone who's not on the brand anymore. He's on the Wednesday Night brand, Finn Balor.
I tried.
We're trying. We're doing really well.
Now, you both had a theme for the U.S. title.
Okay,
you both were kind of. Yeah, you had a theme for this because your U.S. champions, Brock, was the male superstar of the year, Adam Cole, baby.
I mean, we thought he would be called up by now. We didn't think they'd be live on Wednesdays.
Right. Yeah, I don't think any of us saw what was coming this year.
And in that same vein, Lindsay went with his brother-in-arms, the Messiah of the Backbreaker, Roderick Strong.
You know, that brand split, that network split, that just fucked everything up. That really did. Like, Fox coming into play just, like, screwed everything up.
All right. Now, Rock, I know this is going to be hard for you. You're going to actually have to change buttons on the soundboard here. Because for the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, Lindsay went with the Bar. But Rock went with your WWE SmackDown Champions, The New Day.
Hey, got one. Well,
although, to be fair, you said that they were going to be 10-time tag team champions by now.
Oh, yeah, they're 7.
Yeah, but your pick said 10-time. I wrote that down. All right.
What's got hurt?
SmackDown Women's Champion, you both, in the one brain aspect, went with Ronda Rousey.
We didn't think she was going to go make babies, so...
She is.
We thought she was going to stay on, go to SmackDown to be one Fox, she wouldn't make babies.
All right. So those are your two big ones. Now we're going to get into the other championships that we have really quick. Your Cruiserweight Champion.
Who is Cruiserweight Champion?
It's Angel Garza.
Angel Garza.
Angel Garza?
Yeah.
Because remember, he won the title and then proposed to his gal.
Oh, that's right.
All right. Lindsay went with Drew Gulak. Who had the belt during this year?
He did have the belt this year.
He did have it.
And Rock, you had a champion too!
Yay!
But just not the Cruiserweight Champion.
Oh.
He was at one time a 24/7 champion.
Hey!
And involved in a cheating storyline, Mike Bennett. So you've had EC3 and Mike Bennett as two of your champion choices. I just want you to reflect on that.
Hey! Potential. I saw potential in people.
How did that work out? All right. NXT champion. Both you guys went with Keith Lee. Not bad. But,
not bad.
Not right. Women's champion. Rock went with Aaliyah. Lindsay went with her tag team partner, Vanessa Horn.
See, we thought a bunch of the women were going to be caught up, and then this would be the next crop. We thought this was going to be still developmental.
Yeah, no.
And then we never saw them crossing UK in regular NXT.
Yeah.
Like, none of us ever saw that.
Yeah. And you never saw that NXT would get its own show on.
Yeah.
Retain a lot of their talent.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
NXT Tag Team Champions. Rock went with the Forgotten Sons, who are still forgotten. Lindsay went with the War Raiders.
That was close. They were champions this year.
But not at the end of the year. And they're no longer they're no longer War Raiders.
There are War Raiders in our hearts, damn it.
For the UK title.
Oh god.
Again, get ready to change the soundboard. Rock, you went with Jordan Devlin. Lindsay, if he can ever find the belt, your pick was Walter.
Yeah, I got
one. You both went with Toni Storm as the women's title holder, which was good for about 2/3 of the year. And then you both went with Mustache Mountain for the UK tag titles. All right. So you're both tied at 1-1 right now.
Okay.
So you had three other picks that you can make.
Oh God!
One of them, breakout star of the year. Who do you think was going to be the breakout star? Rock, you had EC3. I know potential.
That one hurt. Like, he was being called up, and everybody's like, "Oh, it's EC3. He's really good." And then Vince didn't like him, and
he's not even chasing after the 24/7 title anymore.
Vince doesn't like him right now.
Sorry, Vince.
To Dean Ambrose. Thanks to Dean. Lindsay actually had a pick in the running. She went with Nikki.
Yes. I'll give her that. I'll give her a point for that one.
All right. Who do you think was going to get fired?
Oh God.
Rock, you had Zack Ryder. Which is a viable option every year.
I mean, yay, he didn't get fired.
Yeah. Lindsay, who had his tag team partner, Curt Hawkins.
Yay, he's still alive.
And they're now doing a toy podcast together.
Gotta scratch that toy itch somehow.
All right, bold prediction for 2019.
Oh, God.
Lindsay had WWE skins in Fortnite.
Still holding out for that. Still holding out for that.
But there was a second part of that. Bray Wyatt will return.
That's not a bold prediction.
At the time it was, Rocky.
At the time it was, because he had been gone about 8 months and nobody had heard anything from him, so...
That's not bold from her, but okay.
Give me my half a point, damn it.
She gets half a point on that one.
And Rock, your bold prediction, Hulk Hogan would be DLC for WWE 2K20.
Okay, that's a half a point? He was in the game. Actually, was he in the game officially, or did he may have been actually DLC, kind of. Hold on. We are going to do some fact-checking on this one.
And then there was one final thing that we did at the end of this that was just kind of fun.
All right, read it as I do this.
Brock and Lindsay came up with their WrestleMania 35 card. It included things like Dean Ambrose and Finn Balor for the IC title, Elias and Rock having the Rock concert segment, Bray Wyatt versus Aleister Black.
I would still pay to
see that.
You guys
were actually, you guys were close on this one, though. For the WWE Championship, you had either Ali or The Miz facing Daniel Bryan.
Got half of it.
Yeah, you got half of it and the right title. So, good job there.
Oop,
you
oop.
Had the Universal title match locked in. Brock versus Seth. You also had Lars versus Braun.
We're not talking about Lars.
And John Cena versus the Velveteen Dream.
Okay. Well, you know, still could be a thing. additional bonus digital content, including playable characters, playable superstars China in her first WWE 2K appearance. Hulk Hogan. So it was a full right. It's a full point. He was DLC. Because they changed the phrasing on how they did it this year.
For your women's title, tag team titles, I should say, you had the Boss and Hug Connection facing Fire and Desire.
They were the only team that didn't make that match.
but you did have Boss and Hug in there, so good job. For the SmackDown women's title, you had Asuka facing Naomi and Charlotte in a triple threat.
We had Charlotte in a triple threat for the SmackDown Women's title. That's a half a point.
And then you had Becky and Ronda facing for the Raw Women's title.
There you go.
So that was your picks for 2019.
Yeah, we're not doing Mania tonight.
Yeah, no, we have to research.
Yeah. All right. So for 2020, we're going to start off with, who do you think your breakout star is going to be next year at this time?
Oh, shit.
To WWE.com we go. Because it's just going to need this for the entire segment. So, breakout star for next year.
You know what? Can we research this?
What do you mean?
Research it so we can defend it.
What, for breakout star?
Yeah. Well, for all the categories. Like, research it and do it next year.
You mean next week?
Or next week, whatever. I'm tired.
All right, yeah, we'll save predictions for next week. How about that? We'll do predictions next week.
Yeah, let's just send us the categories, and then that way we can, like, because we can turn this into a discussion topic.
Yeah.
So let's put a pin in it.
Because we're running really long.
We're running really, really long, so let's...
Oh, by the way, there is one new title that you need to pick this year.
No.
North American?
No. I know which one he's saying. No.
Oh. Actually, you know what? I forgot the North American. I need to put that on here.
No.
Rock,
no.
Rock, you got to do it. Come on.
We're not doing 24/7. We are not doing that.
It's an easy pick. You can just go R-Truth.
No. But will he be? That's the question. Anything can happen in a year. We don't know.
See, and Rock, you're going to have an entire week to think this up, so therefore, it's staying on the list.
No, we vetoed. We said no.
We're the hosts. We say no.
So we'll do predictions next week because we've run a really, really long night.
Yeah. So, we're going to think about it. So, Brent, you may have to come back. Or at least be in chat when we do the picks. So you can get the picks.
We'll discuss this later.
Uh-huh. But anyway, that does it for us. So, Rock, you've got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, another edition of CB Radio. We're doing the Blame Rob Battle Royale year 3, I think. SuperHealer.com, GrandTheGreatTheBait.com, Sunday night, it's called Wrestle Talk Radio. Monday night, we'll be back for another edition of Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for The Rack. Apparently, we're doing predictions next week, so in 2 weeks, we'll do the Decade Show, because we're pushing things back. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Spotify. No deal by now. Use credit code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite IM shop, #EpicPartner. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. Everyone likes doing things for free. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Brent, tell us about your appearances on the network.
Well, you can find me usually on Thursday nights and Saturday nights at Fortnite with friends. Probably doing something stupid like blowing myself up with a rocket launcher. Yay! Can hardly wait. Other than that, you can pretty much find me in the chat most nights, or on Twitter, @KaneKittens. Oh, and sometimes occasionally on Saturday night, midnight-ish. Or as close as they can get to it.
Okay, Lindsay, plugs.
Alrighty, so we are not doing Fortnite with friends tonight because, well, I know I'm a little worn out from today. I think Brent's a little worn out, too. So we're not going to do Fortnite with friends tonight. We're going to do it Saturday because there's not really anything for us to do in the game right now. So we're going to have to figure out what we want to do as a group and then do it on stream. So we may find a map or something for Saturday to do that. So everybody stay tuned. Fortnite with friends on Saturdays. 10 p.m. Eastern-ish, or as close as we can get it. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And you can follow me on all the social medias and on Twitch, at Lens Ward, LANSWRD. So everybody, we want to say thank you so much for tuning into Pop Goes the Rack. We ran a little long. We're sorry about that, but we hope you enjoyed it. Hope you had a wonderful new year, and we wish you all a happy and healthy 2020. And we will see you next week. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.